Yeah.
Do you want to use it all?
Ooh, what's singing? Ringy dingy. Praise the Lord. Well, I was born and raised on the Waiter Reservation in Cass Lake. Do you know where Cass Lake is?
The Lord with all her heart, and it showed on her face. Every time you saw her, she was just glowing, even when she wasn't feeling so good. 2 years ago, we went with a group of people. I think
Amen.
Have been there. We went Christmas.
My
morning,
folks,
and we went to Pine Nursing
my dad
home,
donated
where
the
Iris
land
was, and
to Mocha,
you know, I knew
Bible
Iris
school.
From.
I lived next to it.
23 or 25 years ago, and we see her occasionally.
I taught there last fall.
The woman's in her late 90s. Is she going to remember us? But I was curious to see if she would remember her face anyway. So after we sang Christmas songs. I went over and I said, "Hi, Iris," and she goes,
"Graduated
Kathy,
from
how
there.
Are you
yes,
and Bob and
I
the boys?"
Went to school. There.
She had an incredible memory, neat, neat lady. But anyway, her funeral was Friday, and it was the neatest service. It was just precious. And they said she loved to hide God's
honors
word in
for
her
me
heart,
and horrors
and she
for
loved
them.
To worship. So we just had a worship service, and I didn't think I'd cry, but it was such
blessed
heritage that was shared at her funeral.
You know,
I was just weeping. Partly weeping because I didn't have that. Many of us don't have that. But so grateful for
I
her
had
and
my 80th
all those children and
January
grandchildren
6th.
And great-grandchildren there. And her
that
grandson
weekend,
got up and spoke at her funeral. He's a principal somewhere. I don't know, but awesome speaker. He got up and shared about how when he was little, they'd go to grandma's and,
or something. But anyway,
you know, the fun they had. And
so I
all
I get up and
sleep
I
together,
said
and grandma would always
said,
you know, pray for them. And she'd scold them. And one time, the five Vaughn girls, a whole bunch of them were going to Florida. And grandma had a lecture with all those girls about proper attire on the beach when they were in Florida. And this grandson was talking, and he said, you know, I wasn't in on that lecture, but I heard it. And he said it impacted me, too, because I thought, you know, as a young man of God, what should my attitude be on that beach as well? So it's just neat that she was able to speak into so many lives. Just incredible heritage for those kids. And this young man, I just was so impacted that he said when he would go visit his grandma, she would pray
for
them.
40 years.
Well, then when he was older in life, and I don't remember, do you remember, Mary and John, how old he was, like maybe college age or something, and he had gone back to grandma's and was staying overnight for some reason, and said goodnight, and apparently it wasn't up to grandma's specs, so she tiptoes into his room a little after he had gone to bed,
and
he walks in, he goes in, he lays his hand on her, she lays her hand on his head. Like she used to when he was little, and she would pray for them. And he started praying for her. She started praying for him, And then she sang a lullaby that she used to sing to him when he was little. And he sang the last two lines of this lullaby with his voice quivering.
Including me.
Needless to say, we all cried. But really, really neat. So, you know, it reminded me of a good friend of mine that was a grandma, too, and her name was Helena Wolf, and she died
on the Lord
maybe 5 years ago
Lord
now. And she was like a mom to me. And even though I didn't have that strong Christian heritage in my background, in her later years, my friend who I called Nani, her name was Helena, her grandkids called her Nani, she became like a mom to me. And when she passed away, her daughter gave me an amber necklace that was Nani's that she wore often. So when I went to Iris' funeral, I put on my amber necklace because it reminded me of Nani.
I knew that in my head.
The week that Nani had
a
stroke and died, her daughter Jan Robia and I were with Nani for
revelation.
The last couple days.
And everything
Nani just took
I've
a
ever
better, and we were so encouraged
Lord
and moved her into a nursing home. She had a nice bright room and everything.
Revelation.
That whole day was just pure joy. And even though Nani had Alzheimer's and she wasn't with us at all times in the present, she
everything
just was
I've
amazing.
Ever
and she said to Jan and I over
Lord
and over, she took her face in her hands and she kept saying,
"Revelation,
you're beautiful, you're so beautiful." And I
everything.
Thought, really? And, you know, but I believe that she was seeing through the eyes of Jesus, and it was a gift to us from God on that last day. It was like Nani was more in touch with Jesus and was speaking to us. And so in this song, You're Beautiful, it says, "When we arrived at eternity's shore, where death is just a memory and tears are no more, we'll enter in as the wedding bells ring. Your bride will come together and we'll sing, 'You're beautiful. I see your face, you're beautiful.'" So what she was seeing
now
was probably Christ in us.
To read the Bible,
and she was just getting a clearer view because she was closer to
and
Christ.
And pray if you
just
want to grow.
Bless my heart. What a neat, neat.
And then I read in John 5, Jesus said to the Pharisees, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but you would not come to me that you might have life."
back. We always enjoy coming.
Can you hear me now? We always feel real at home here and being with you folks. We're together in
we shouldn't
one big family, aren't we?
But it means that
and
we
you know,
shouldn't
when family get together, sometimes we don't see some of our family for a long time. But when we do get together,
by coming to the just pick person up
where
of
you
Jesus
left
Christ.
Off when you saw them last.
Hallelujah.
Spiritually, too, you know, we just
and
enjoy being with
when
one
that
another
revelation
and
came
fellowshipping
me,
with Him. God doesn't come and go. God lasts.
That when Christ
He's creator
died,
of all you can see or imagine. He doesn't get tired out. Doesn't pause to catch His breath.
Because I was raised
and He
in
knows
church
everything,
where
everyone,
we
inside and out.
Saved lots of times.
He energizes those who get tired. Tired this morning?
And every time an evangelist
He energizes those who get tired.
Over again.
Gives fresh strength to dropouts.
And I worked hard
even
at
young
it.
People.
Wow. Raised in the church. My real
young
mother
folk
died
in their prime
4 months old and I
stumble and fall.
She
but
had her
those
sister,
who weep
my aunt,
upon God
took me and her husband they'd come to the Lord only about
those that wait
a year
upon
before
God
they were a young married couple
get
and they raised me
they spread their wings
and I grew
and
up
like eagles.
In
they
the
run and not
church
get tired.
Every time the
they'll
car
they'll
went
walk
to
and
church,
not ride behind
I was in it
so sit down and rest everyone. That's
my mother, my
recover
my
your
mother
strength.
Tells about
and then he goes on
my
to say,
dad going
I'll give
up
you
the aisle to take the
I'll
offering
help you.
With diapers
I'll hold you steady,
the back
keep
pocket.
A firm
and
grip
we didn't
on
have
your
nice
on
little deal.
That's right,
then,
because I, your God, have a firm grip on you, and I'm not letting
so
go.
We were
telling you, don't panic.
People.
I'm right here to help you. So next time you get to feeling...
And so one of the things
says,
the Lord
like
had to speak
worm?
To me along the way
don't
this.
Be afraid.
Quit
and, you know, we can't go by our feelings.
Sinner.
Feel like a fragile insect? I'll help you. I, God, want to reassure you, the God who buys you back, you'll be confident and exuberant, expansive in the whole...
Be a Christian!
So,
start being a Christian. Quit being a sinner. Start being a Christian.
Some people talked with somebody the other day, and they said, "You know, I never feel spiritual."
Quit running around repenting for your dead flesh.
Start to feeling spiritual, then you need some help. But our hope is in Him.
Start to believe what I've done for you.
And it's not
begin to believe that you are absolutely saved.
My life.
And your life is hid with Christ in God, and you have been changed.
Awesome, isn't it? That
you are no longer a sinner. You are a saved person. Hallelujah.
He has come to live within you and I and leads us and guides us. He lives right inside of us. That's pretty awesome. We don't always realize that, do we?
Praise
the Lord. We get up in the morning and, oh, good Lord, morning. No, we get up and say, good morning, Lord.
And I had to find out that my salvation was not
which do
dependent
we say, huh? And
upon
more and more,
my goodness or my ability.
I don't know why it's taken
what
me
I
so
could
long.
Do,
the older I get, the more I realize.
Or how I walked,
Jesus
or what
says,
I did, or how good I was, or how bad
me.
I was. My
and,
salvation was dependent
don't
upon
be afraid.
What Jesus Christ had done for me.
I'll keep
hallelujah.
Falling, and I've seen that happen.
And when I begin to find that out, then I
really,
begin
he says
to
give his angels charge
enjoy
of us, keep us
God.
From falling. And sometimes I've stumbled, and ordinarily.
Hallelujah.
Fallen. People my age do that
and,
sometimes.
And that orphan
but his
spirit
angel
that
is
I had
always
that,
there
that just wanted
me and
to,
he says he'll keep
to
you from falling.
You know, to
that's
go my own
awesome,
way and do my own thing and
those of
and
you who are
try
going into your
80s, work and so
underline
forth,
that verse.
I began
I'll
to
keep
be released
you.
From that.
I'll keep you. I'll
hallelujah.
Keep you from falling.
I began to realize
and,
that it wasn't
what
behavior
a privilege that we
modification,
just to be
but it was heart transformation
says,
that made the
me,
difference.
Walk with me.
Hallelujah.
And talk with me.
So that's that's kind
don't
of
don't try to be spiritual. You never can be anyway.
First thing.
So just
that begin to
relax and enjoy Him.
Whole walk with
and
God.
Enjoy His presence.
Found out that
and
the flesh
one of these days,
profits nothing.
It'll be throughout all eternity. That
oh,
that just kind of
Lord,
blows my mind when
my
I stop to think
to
about what eternity
something.
Is going to be like. Forever and ever and ever with mm-hmm. Him. And I'm so glad. I just thank the Lord
can
so
I
many
do
times
anything
say,
good?
Well, thank you so much for putting me in a place, in a family, in a church
it profits
that has
nothing.
Taught me
don't
to know you. There are many, many people, some of my
you know,
family, who don't know that. They know about Him.
Oh, man.
But they don't really know Him. And I said, Lord, I don't want
you know,
to just
we
know
make,
about you.
We make
I know a lot
Christian
about Him
so
because
hard.
I've been taught ever since I was little. But I really want to know you and to walk with you and to talk with you. And how do you get to know somebody? By
don't
just
we?
Being with them, don't we? And we
and
know
so
Stephen Candy.
Enjoyable.
But probably not as good as Candy
stand
and Steve know each other.
Because
they're together
every
all
day
the time.
With Jesus is sweeter
and Jay
than
and I have been
before.
Together. Oh, you want to know how many
I feel
years?
Feel like Samuel, quit lying!
54 years, is it?
Let's tell the truth.
I can't even remember. Yeah, 50 apiece, 100 years. Makes us pretty old, doesn't it? But
hallelujah.
Every
we
day
keep talking, or
with
shall
Jesus,
I preach?
We always sang, "Is sweeter than the day before."
I
thank
begin
you so
to
much
realize
for allowing
that,
us to be with you this morning. We always enjoy coming to Mount Zion.
Over in the book
of
Romans,
verse and together,
chapter 5,
we're gonna make it
17. For if by the trespass of one man, death reigned through that one man.
I even remember how to put the microphone down. That's pretty good. When I'm
you know, he's talking about Adam. How much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ?
I don't know about you guys, but I had a rough upbringing. So for me to see the Lord as beautiful takes a revelation.
If
you know, I'd rather be a legalist. I'd rather have a God that I have to earn His favor
by the
or something like
one
that.
Man
Adam
easier messing
that way.
Up. He says,
but there's a verse in Hosea that I've been concentrating a lot. See, I've actually had a good couple
much
of weeks.
More chapter, and he said, how much more
so,
will those
and every time I get successful,
God's
I lose track
of
God.
Provision
and I'm just,
of grace
I'm just telling you. I
and
don't know
of
if anybody
the
else
gift
struggles with that.
Of righteousness.
So sometimes I run
did
into
you
trouble
know that righteousness
so that I can come back to
gift?
The beauty of the Lord. And, you know, it says, there's a verse in Hosea, there's a couple
and do you
of
know
really
that you can't
this.
Earn a gift?
It says, I will bring you into the valley of trouble, and there I will speak tenderly to you.
Given
and
to
it's
you.
Like my understanding of God
you
is
are
so
righteous
twisted.
Because
he is so for me.
The gift of righteousness
so
has been given
me.
To me.
And even when I, as a believer, have trouble,
Jesus
it's that
Christ.
He might show himself beautiful
hallelujah.
To me. I'd always wondered why I would get in these jackpots. I'd be stoned, wasted. This is a long time ago.
When I realized the truth of that.
I'd be in these jackpots and all of a sudden,
was
established
brother reading that passage from Romans
and the Lord would speak
tenderly
to me.
This morning.
I should be destroyed. And there he would just say, I love you. Father's Day, I'm sitting there, and I'm shacking up with a girl, and I hated her son, and I was like, what the heck, how did I get in this situation? And I walk out into the woods, and I was like, God, I miss my dad. And my father shows up, the Lord, my father. And I said, what should I do? He just said,
grace.
Just go home.
Grace.
God shows up, tells God. Me, go home. I went happy to this woman, and I said, I'm going home.
Hallelujah.
She goes, what the heck's wrong with you? I was like, whatever. Praise and I went home. I didn't turn my heart back to the Lord
well back
then. But
I had
a peaceful experience
said,
with God.
What's the good word, Jay? I said grace.
Understand. Like it says in Hosea, a little further, it says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love you freely.
Said, so what do you want me to say?
Sometimes we need to understand what God has invested into us loving him freely. The whole reason he brings us into the wilderness puts us some of the trouble that
grace
we tend to go through is he's trying to take out of us this understanding of God as an owner.
The law was
and
given
he's trying to help us to understand he's our
to
husband.
Show us what's
sin. That's what that's, and he speaks tenderly to us over these things. So when we were singing today,
make
you're
sin
beautiful,
exceedingly
and I was just like, my heart
sinful.
was re-humbled.
Scripture says
by God's sovereignty to speak
law demands
about beauty to
thou shalt
not. I keep saying to the Lord, I want to see you.
Grace
I want
supply.
To see your face, Lord. And I know that there's a day that like I sometimes I feel
law
like
says,
I'm so close to him
it.
Sometimes lately
grace
that I'm just like I'm
going to
turn my head and he's going to be standing right in front of me with those fiery beautiful eyes.
And I've
that's,
already
that's the
done
impression
it
that'll come into
you.
My spirit once in a while. And I can't wait,
hallelujah.
You know, as I'm gaining confidence that when I die, I'm going to be
when
good.
The law was instituted at Sinai.
The Lord has to prepare you even
that
for
that
kind
of
circumstances. Because
it's
kind of an unknown there. So anyway, I just thought I wanted to share that.
3,000 souls died.
Just that thought
that day.
Sometimes the trouble that we're going through is not because God hates you.
That time.
It's because God loves you.
When grace
and
came
if
at Pentecost,
to the voice of God
3,000 souls were saved.
You'll find things that you never possibly thought were
hallelujah.
Imagined were possible. Because
hallelujah.
Those that are born again, those that know Jesus Christ,
the law, John 1,
and his commitment,
17, the law
his
was
commitment
given
to you
by
is to bring
Moses
you to himself.
Here it is. Do it.
So yeah, getting settled in
grace
the grace of
and
God
truth,
this morning.
Her peace came.
We all need
by
to know that
Jesus Christ.
That Jesus.
Hallelujah.
By dying
the law
on the
is
cross,
a set of rules and regulations written.
It said
down
the Father has qualified you. Do you feel qualified this morning?
Stone, Ten Commandments. And
he qualified you.
Parchment.
Each
I
one
guess,
of you.
But,
not because of something you did, but because of what he sent his son to do for you.
Person.
You've been qualified.
Jesus.
You are qualified.
Jesus. Hallelujah.
It's believing
praise
that Jesus
well,
died on the cross.
Anyway,
it's believing
that's
of what has happened. It's not
about
doing. It's about believing. And if you believe, you too.
One thing,
share an inheritance of the
was,
saints in light forever. By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, those who believe in me shall never die.
Happen all the time.
It's not about those who did good for me
for
will never die.
Them.
It's those who believe in him shall never die.
You know,
so it doesn't
going to see miracles
boil down to what you've
them.
Done. It boils down to what
why
he's
most
done.
Of the church doesn't.
So it's all about him.
Better get our thinking
what
right.
What he's doing and what he's done.
Get our talking
so
right.
So this morning, no matter what you may have been up to.
Right believing brings right living.
Just previously to today, I want you to know that the Father has qualified you. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus
some
Christ,
you
too
like
have eternal life.
Some of you are kind of bored.
But it's believing in him.
That's all right.
Believing in him.
If you want to go to sleep, go ahead.
And so Proverbs, get your eyes off yourself.
Proverbs
get your eyes off of what happened
a,
yesterday.
Actually, it says without
and
a prophetic revelation,
the Lord Jesus Christ,
the people
today.
Will languish.
That's a good
we
deal.
Quoted without a
that's
vision, the
do.
People perish.
Well,
and, without a prophetic revelation, the people will languish. That's what we need in the church, is prophetic revelation. I was talking to some people the other day about New Testament prophecy and what it is. And what it talks about. And I said, you know, whenever we think of the word prophecy, we think of the Old Testament prophet and the thundering guy, instead of thinking of the New Testament prophetic word that is for edification, exhortation, and comfort, 1 Corinthians 14. It's to edify. That means to build up. For edification, exhortation. That means to say, get with it. Or for comfort. And that means to comfort. And if the church would stay with that aspect of the prophetic, they wouldn't be getting into trouble. It's when you prophesy people to Africa or something that you get into trouble. Audrey and I have had words, and you all know that, for people for 50 years or longer, and we've never gotten into very much trouble doing that because we have always stayed with edification, exhortation, and comfort. To edify. You may all prophesy, he said. But prophesy this way. Speak the word of the Lord, and speak it to edify, speak it to exhort, or speak it to comfort. Let's talk a little bit about this prophetic revelation. When there's a prophetic anointing on a service or on a person, you can say something that you've maybe just said, but it's different. For instance, I could meet Steve out there in the hallway and say, "Good morning, God bless you." And he'd say, "Thank you." But I might be speaking a word of encouragement to him, and I'll say, "The Lord bless you," and something will happen within him that's anointed by the Spirit of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. I've just said something to somebody somewhere out in the hall, and I turned around and said the same thing to them, and they fell down under the power of the Spirit. What happened? The anointing. The anointing of God. The anointing of the Spirit of God. So we need to recognize, we need to realize that the Lord wants that ministry in the church. And He wants it done that way, and we'll see some wonderful things happen. And I think most of us are afraid of it because of all the bad things that have happened with it.
I think I need to interrupt right now because of what you just said. Dwellin, where's Dwellin? Come here. John came up just before, and she said that she had a revelation of wanting to bless the people who had been guests here.
Good.
But I said, "Well, we'll do that sometime." And all of a sudden, it just seemed like there's an anointing on this. So why don't you come up here, John?
Come up here and do it.
And
bless
him. But it was a word she had from the Lord for the guests that been here.
Those that are here.
Yes. And I believe the Lord wants to just bless you.
Hallelujah.
So, and that's a word from the Lord. So, I don't know what you felt to do, John.
I just really felt if you guys that were here for SOS, if you would like us to pray for you, the Lord was really speaking to me. If you'd like to come up, we'd like to lay hands on you and bless you. You don't have to come up, but we would love you too, and we'd like to bless you before you left today.
Hallelujah.
So any of you would like to come up, and we will pray for you and bless you.
Amen.
Anyone like to come up?
Hallelujah.
No? Okay, then I'll just pray the prayer right now, then bless you.
Lori, just the blessed people that are sitting in the back right now, Lord, that have been to this program this weekend, Lord, or this week that they've been, Lord, we just lift them up right now, Lord. Bless them right where they're sitting. Lord, speak to their hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to them right now as they're sitting there. Let them know how much you love them. Let them know that when they leave here today, Lord, that there will be blessings upon them, because we, as a body, will just pray and prophesy blessings over them now before they leave, Lord, that they will be upon them, their hearts, their souls, and their minds. And so just bless them today now, Lord, and bless them even as they leave and in all their travels and where their feet walk when they leave here, Lord. Thank you, Father, for loving them. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the hand of the Lord is upon you. He loves you. Hallelujah. You know, when I was a little kid out there at the Mission Corner, running around barefooted and snotty-nosed, with all those other schnobs. I never thought that the Lord was going to make me a preacher and do all the things He's done in my life. It's been so good. It's been so good. And you know, I see you. What's your name, brother? What's your name?
Larry.
I see in you, Larry, a kind-hearted spirit, a desire to help other people, and I see the goodness, the desire to do good for other people, and the Lord is going to increase that and bless that in you. He's going to use that. He is using it, and He's going to use it more. And as you just turn your life more and more over to Him, He's going to create within you some wonderful, wonderful things. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
You don't have to bring it about.
No. Okay, now I can talk a little bit about the church. Yes. I want to talk about the church a little bit. You know, when Peter was talking about the church in second chapter, first Peter, I think it is, he called it lively stones. You know, he said, "You're lively stones." And that's the way most people see the church. All in order and all just set just right and piled one next to the other and everything all, you know, really looking good. But Paul came along and he had another revelation, a further revelation, and he said, "You are a body." Ooh. Living stones are just, you know, they're just there. They're just organic things. But a body is an organism. It's living. And it's ornery. Sometimes. How many of you have a hurting body today? You've got some hurts in your body. Anybody? Raise your hands. Got some hurts in your body somewhere. Raise your hand way up. Got some hurts in your body. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'll let you on a secret. The body of Christ has some hurts in it too. Maybe that's why Paul called it a body. He said, you know, you remember in Acts 20? He said to the, when they were out on the shore there, and he said, "I probably won't see you again." And and all this stuff you're saying to the elders. And he said after I leave, he said there's going to rise up some false prophets and so forth. And he said, not only coming from outside, but he said they're going to rise up from within. Paul knew something about the body of Christ. He knew something about how it functioned and how it operated. And I began to see something a while back about the body of Christ. I began to realize that I was looking at the wrong clock. Here's the clock I should be looking at. I'll keep looking at that one. But anyway, I began to realize that we are a three-part being, body, soul, and spirit. And, my spirit is really in good shape today, but my body isn't in such hot condition. I've had a pain right here that goes around from my back over to here. It's been on me for 3 months, and I've been to 8 doctors, and they all tell me the same thing. We don't know what it is. They think it's in my head, I think, and maybe it is. I don't know, but here's where it hurts, not in my head. But anyway, I was to the doctor this past week, and he looked at me, and they push and squeeze and carry on, and I've got a bulge on this side. You know, when you get to be 80, you have a lot of strange things that go on, and I got this bulge over here, and I went to the doctor a while back, and she looked at a CT scan I had last summer, and she said, you know what? She said you're normal on this side, but you've got a real thin wall over here, and so it bulges out. So I said, well, what is it going to do? Is it going to hemorrhage? Is it going to what do you call that?
Hernia.
Is it going to? She said, no, it probably won't do anything. It'll just bulge. Oh, I said, okay, well, then we'll let her bulge. You selling corsets? But anyway, he said, yeah, he squeezed and pushed, and he asked me what this was happening and so forth. Well, he said, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with you. He said, we could take an x-ray of your back. Maybe we'll find something. And I said, well. He said, why don't you just let it go another week and see how you feel? I said, yeah, it's been going for 6 months now. I guess it'll be all right. Go another week. And I didn't feel, Audrey said, well, do you want to go up there and drive up there and so forth? And I said, well, it doesn't matter whether I'm home or whether I'm somewhere else. It hurts anyway. I've had every place I go, people pray for me. My two little grandsons prayed for me the other night. One's 10 and one's 5, and they laid hands on me and prayed for me. And so when I got in the car yesterday noon to drive up here, the Lord spoke to me something. He said, well, Lord, I've got to drive up there. Yeah, he said, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for you. I said, okay, Lord, hallelujah. I'll take sufficient grace. Never bothered me all the way up here. Now, last night was a different thing during the night, but I don't believe in sleeping anymore. I just believe in rolling from one side to the other and getting up and wandering around and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My grace is sufficient. My spirit is okay. Just this old thing I'm walking around in. It's wearing out. We went to three funerals recently. They were all people in their 80s. No, one was younger. But two of them were in their 80s. And the last one we went to was the best funeral I've ever been to. Wow, it was fun. Eileen Bissonnette, she's from... Larry is a pastor from La Couture Reservation, and we've known each other for 50 years, and she's been his wife, and she's a great lady. She's walked with God all of her life, and I just want to tell you one incident at this funeral. Her two daughters got up, Dawn and Brenda got up to speak a little bit on behalf of the families. They have five kids, three boys and two girls. And these two girls got up, and I've known the family, known all of them. I've known Larry for 50 years. I guess I said that, and we've ministered together all over the area. And anyway, they got up and they said, you know, a few days ago when our mother was dying in the hospice, in the hospital, with hospice there, she said to us, she said, well, I'm ready to go now. What a way to go. Wow. She said, I'm ready to go. And she said, and they said, well, we'll get you fixed up. We'll get you ready. And so they said that the hospice and the two daughters, she said, we bathed her. And then we put on her best dress. We combed her hair, put on her lipstick and her rouge, got her ready, all ready to go. They said, okay, Mom, you're ready to meet the Lord. She said, okay, and then she died. That's the way I want to go. I don't want lipstick on and so forth, but that's the way I want to go. Hallelujah. Amen. And she left this old tent that she'd been in, miserable. She was only supposed to live for 7 months, and she lived for 8 or 9. She was trying to hold out for 2 more months, and then they would have had their 60th anniversary. Man, I had tears in my eyes. The body. The body of Christ. You know, we have a different idea of the body. We think the body should just be all, you know, good shape. Everything should be functioning. Everything should be working right. And so forth. I was at this one funeral, and he was a guy who'd been in my church for 20 years or longer. I'd known him from Cass Lake. I'd known him for years. And he got something stuck in his gizzard and got mad at me. And, you know, we'd been best of friends. And he kind of led a group of 70 out of my church and went to another church and then eventually started a church in Elk River and went through all that. And he called me a lot, you know, a lot of things and said a lot of things about me to my face. And so I was going to, I think that's when I was going to come up here, and then he died. He's 90. He died, so I stayed for his funeral. I mean, we had, you know, we had kind of gotten things settled and worked it out, and we were very close friends, and then after that we became good acquaintances, cordial. Isn't that the way we are? See, I'm talking to you about the body. I'm talking to you about the church. I'm talking to you about reality. And this was in 1985, and we're just now working. We were just not too long ago we worked it out. And when we worked it out, we neither of us said anything about that incident. We just, somehow the Spirit of God did something and we, something happened. But anyway, and I'm not going to go into all the details on that because it's a long story. But anyway, I went to his funeral. And he'd been in my church longer than any other church he'd been in. But they never invited me even to speak. Wasn't that nice? I didn't have to. Praise the Lord. But they opened it up, so I got up and I said something. And I kept with their protocol. They hadn't mentioned Faith Fellowship Church that I had, that, you know, that I'd pastored and that we'd been in and that he'd been in for all those years, and he was the first elder I ever had. And so I didn't mention Faith Fellowship Church when I got up. I just said I was friends and we were friends and that he had been my first elder. A few other things, but anyway, afterward I told his daughter, I said, you know, isn't it amazing that people were afraid to say Faith Fellowship Church? But you see, that's the body. But his spirit was okay. And my spirit was okay. Are you hearing me? We might have had some soul problems. Emotional. The church. See? Church is made up of a body. Paul saw it as a body. And he saw this body as one that's not too well. Ooh, I wish I had time. Redeemed man. Man is not a human being having a spiritual experience. But he's a spiritual being having a human experience. Shall I say that again? Man is not a human being having a spiritual experience. He's a spiritual being having a human experience. And that's why we have this body situation. Jesus said, Matthew 18, Matthew 16 rather, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, Jesus only said about three things about the church. The rest of it was about the kingdom. And he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, if the gates of hell are prevailing against your church, maybe you got another builder. Ooh, ooh, ooh. They were building a new church in Elk River. $4 million, I think it was. Good church, wonderful church. And they need it, as far as I can see. But anyway, they built this new church. But while they were building it, they had a big semi-truck there that had WWJD, What Would Jesus Do, on the side. And I drove by there, Audrey and I drove by there, and I said, you know what? He wouldn't build a $4 million church. Wow. We make life complicated, don't we? You know, the soul is the intellect, the mind, the emotions, and the will, feelings, choices, the will. That's the part of us that we get into trouble with, don't we? Well, we won't talk about that. I've got to quit, I suppose. There's just a lot of other things I'd like to talk about, but you know, there are seven parables of the kingdom of God. In Matthew 13. The first one is how it's given. Sower sowing seeds, falls everywhere. That doesn't sound like the church. Second one is how it operates. Weeds and the tares grow together. Tiny mustard seed grows to the largest plant. Yeast kneaded into batch of dough. That's how it operates. Then he said how it's acquired. It's a treasure hidden in the field and the guy searches for it. Or the merchant discovers a fabulous pearl and he sells everything he has and goes and gets it. What do you think about that kingdom? Huh? It's like, the kingdom of God is like, Jesus said. Say, like what? Well, and finally, the final consummation, he said that the angels drag a net, drags up all kinds of stuff. Angels separate at the end of the age. Now, in the church I pastored, we couldn't do that. We had some order and some rules and some things that we couldn't allow most of this to happen. Don't look at me like that. We were afraid to throw the net out there and drag in all kinds. We only drug in the ones we liked. I didn't say this, Jesus said it. We're afraid to allow the angels to separate them at the end of the age. Sower sowing seeds and he throws them out there and they fall all over anywhere. We couldn't do that. In the church I pastored. Let the wheat and the tares grow together and the mustard seeds grow and knead it into a batch of dough, the yeast and all that. Jesus was talking about a different kingdom than I've understood most of my life. But I see a little bit of the kingdom here. You're willing to take in. Draw in, bring in. You bring in homeless, you bring in people that are hurting, you bring in. We go to a church that's 22 miles away from our house. We drive by a whole bunch of good churches on the way up there. And then we go to that one. And I sit there and say, what in the world am I doing here? But anyway, we... Oh, man. We go to this church. And the reason we go up there is because we're ministering in the jail. And that was the only church in the whole area that would take in those jailbirds. Throughout the net, pulled in all kinds, and some of them looked like birds, jailbirds. Pulled them in. Now on Thursday nights, God's doing an amazing thing amongst them. Well, anyway, I just tossed out a few little nuggets here this morning. And I could have preached for a long time on each one of them. But I just wanted you to... I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance and have you think a little bit about some of these things. Because, you know, We get stagnated, don't we? Get stagnant in our thinking. Sometimes we need somebody to kind of shake us up a little bit and get us thinking in a little bit further way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the Lord is healing that person right now that's having trouble with your ankle. Who's having trouble with your ankle? The Lord is touching you. All right, good. The Lord is touching you right now. Just receive it from the Lord. You know, He loves you, and that's why He spoke to me that was your problem. Because he just because He loves you. Doesn't expect you to do anything. Just expects you to receive it. Isn't that nice? That's God. He's really good that way. I've learned that. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive, and He believes that. And He'd rather give. Because He's always given. That's all He does is give. God gives. He gave us the best. He gave us His Son. And so He delights in giving to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We better delight in taking. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Someone else have... you know, there was during the night, the Lord was speaking to me about a financial situation. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but about a financial situation that was that was needing some resolution in the next two or three days. And... the Lord is going to work on your behalf if you let Him. Now you can work it out yourself if you want to try it, but He's gonna work on your behalf if you let Him do it and just say, Lord, I believe You. I believe that it will happen. I just trust You for it, and you'll begin to see Him put some things together financially. I saw Him, and it was like a Rubik's Cube, you know, kind of working those things together. And He's going to bring that about. And then I also saw is this all right? I also saw a person. Actually, it was myself. I was driving down a street, And all of a sudden there was another street here and there was another one over here, and I was going by a policeman, and I was scrambling because I didn't have my seat belt hooked up. Didn't have my grandson in the back seat to say, "Hook your seat belt up, Grandpa." And anyway, I was scrambling to get my seat belt. I got it hooked up, but I went down this one road, and all of a sudden that thing turned into the worst quagmire of a road that I've been in. And I said, "I can't go through this." And they said, "We'll pull you through." I said, "You're not going to pull my car through there." And so I started backing up and trying to get turned around and so forth. And I could see over here a nice road. And I thought, why didn't I take that road? What's the matter with me? Here's a good road. And I came to these three ways I could have gone. And I took this goofy road. If that fits you, back up. Don't try to get pulled through that mess. Back up. Get out of it. Back up. And get over here and take the good road. Things went real nice when I got on that good road. Had my seat belt buckled and it was good going. But when I was going to go through it, and somebody had a big machine there, and they were offering to hook a chain on my Lincoln and pull me through there. I said, You're not going to do that. They wanted to, and I could just picture what that thing would look like after they got through dragging me through that heap of stuff. Even though it is 14 years old, still looks pretty good. So anyway, if you're that person, back up. Don't try to push your nose through. Don't try to bull your way through. Don't try to just say, "I'm going to get through here no matter what." Just back up. Get out of it. Sometimes the best thing to do is to back up. Go over the other way. Well, it's a quarter after 12. I'll quit. A lot more things that I could, but I might come back again sometime and share something with you. Hallelujah.